the biblical timeline. In the world of Bible believers, it's a common practice to compare similar passages from the New Testament with the Old Testament and draw conclusions based on what appears to be a shared connection. What happens most of the time is similarity is mistaken for equivalence. What I mean by that can be understood in a comparison of the language of John in the book of Revelation to the books of Daniel and Ezekiel. The conclusion most draw is that the similarity means that they're speaking of the same thing and are therefore equivalent. In order to prove that similarity isn't equivalence, we have to understand biblical time, dispensations, and limits on prophecy. Biblical time is divided into three periods known as dispensations. These are the patriarchal, Mosaic, and Christian. Each has specific characteristics that set it apart from the other two. In the patriarchal period, God spoke directly to the heads of households and verbally revealed His will. The laws weren't written at this time. The Mosaic period is marked by a written law as well as God speaking to Moses, priests, and prophets to reveal His will. Prophecies in the Mosaic period writings point to a time when the Messiah will come and a new law would be given for all people. The Christian dispensation officially begins on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. From this point on, God reveals His will through Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and later inspired writers. The law is recorded, and slowly the voice of God fades as the written word becomes the vehicle that preserves the completed revelation. The bulk of Old Testament prophecy is issued during the Mosaic dispensation. The prophets, both major and minor, dealt with events that were going to take place as judgments in the case of Israel and Judah as they sinned and digressed from the law. Within these prophecies are statements of what would take place in the future. Some of this was the fate of Israel and Judah, God's judgment against other nations, the Babylonian exile, and the return of a remnant after 70 years. Included in these revelations are statements about a new kingdom and law that would be established, and a king, the Messiah, who would come to rule and render judgment. In a very simplified overview, the majority of Old Testament prophecy ends with the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost, with one exception. The only exception to this limit is the prophet Daniel, who foretells the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. This is confirmed by Christ in Matthew 24:15. As he answers his disciples' questions concerning his return and any signs associated with it. The final conclusion is that no Old Testament prophecy addresses the end of the world. Language in books such as Revelation that have a similarity to Ezekiel and Daniel demonstrates divine inspiration and authorship by God, not equivalence in events. If we fail to respect this contextual aspect of the Scriptures, we'll find ourselves confused or trying to make Ezekiel and Daniel match current events in the Middle East. This has been done for centuries and has a 100% failure rate in accuracy. The end times or last days began when the church was established. Statements in the New Testament confirm this. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come, in 1 Corinthians 10:11. John also comments on this as well. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time, in 1 John 2:18. There are other passages that confirm this, but these show that the end times have been with us since the first century, and signs, such as the appearance of the spirit of Antichrist, have been revealed as well. The bottom line is that the Nephilim aren't going to return. They didn't leave. They were humans who died out and are figures now in history. The Bible is a practical book, and the realistic presentation of information, when viewed in the context it appears, negates the speculative interpretations of the present century. And that discussion brings us back to the prophecy that appears in the book of Jude that was allegedly taken from the book of Enoch. Jude states, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him," in Jude 14 and 15. Is Enoch speaking of the end of time in these verses, as some assume? From the Genesis account, we know that Enoch was righteous, so much so that the Lord took or translated him so that he didn't experience physical death. He speaks of judgment and the coming of the Lord to render that upon the ungodly, rewarding them according to their evil deeds. At the time Enoch lived, the evil of the world was increasing. Paul talks about times in which humans didn't like to retain God in their minds, and the Lord gave them over to their own imaginations in Romans 1:21 through 28. Was a judgment of God in the future at the time of Enoch? Yes, it was. God brought the flood on the world to destroy all life with the exception of Noah and his family. God rendered judgment against Israel and Judah for their evil as they turned from the law and killed the prophets, embracing idolatry and evil. The Jews of the first century were judged by God for their rejection of Christ and were destroyed in AD 70. Jesus also commented about whether he would find faith in the world when he returns in Luke 18:8. When the quotation appears in Jude, the conditions of the appearance of evil and evildoers follows the same pattern. People reject God. They speak against him. They hate his followers and practice such lawlessness that will bring destruction on them. Jude isn't using the statement of Enoch as a prophecy of the end of the world. He states it as a comparison in principle. When evil grows, the Lord will rise against it and take vengeance. Paul bears this out in his description of Christ's return. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power," in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9. As I stated earlier, the exact quote of Jude 14 and 15 in my research only appears in the Ethiopic manuscript, which I believe is the only complete copy of the writing. The Ethiopic manuscript is dated to the 14th century, long after Jude recorded God's message. I haven't found another copy or fragment prior to this with the same language. In the event that such a copy exists that still falls short of proof that Jude referred to the book of Enoch as a source, inspired scripture wasn't a research project assigned to the writers by God. It was a partnership between the writer and the Holy Spirit, recording exactly what God wanted preserved. In my opinion, the book of Enoch falls into the category of a myth or fable, and I believe is the type of writing Paul referred to in his letters. Writing to Timothy, Paul states, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do," in 1 Timothy 1:4. Later he writes, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness," in 1 Timothy 4:7. In his letter to Titus, Paul states, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth," in Titus 1:14. Books such as the Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha were in circulation in the first century and had been for a long time. Ideas had made their way into the Jewish consciousness and were probably accepted as fact by some. The same situation exists today. There are some who have ideas about the scriptures that have their foundation in folklore and superstition. It doesn't matter that the Bible doesn't teach certain things. They've been around for centuries, and the beliefs will continue as long as there are followers who'll hold on to them. The content of the book of Enoch violates the context of the overall biblical timeline, a timeline established by God, which will remain in place until he brings it to an end with no sign or warning. Today, we see the same thing taking place with misinterpretation of prophecy accepted as fact in the religious mainstream.